Welcome to Trinity Dallas. We pray that this message will be a source of encouragement and hope in your life today. Enjoy today's message.
You guys ready to jump into the Word? Yeah. Not yet. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we commit this time in your hands. We ask you for your guidance, your leadership. Holy Spirit, help us in our time here together to grab a hold of the one, two, or the few things that you have for us personally that we can apply to our lives and grow as disciples and as followers of Jesus because of this message here today. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Well, if you've been with us for the last 2 weeks, that you know by now that Advent means coming or arrival. And this is the Christian season in the calendar where we take time to prepare our hearts to celebrate the coming of Jesus in three ways. We remember and celebrate that he has come in Bethlehem as a baby. We celebrate the reality that he has come into our hearts and our lives as believers. If we've received him, he is with us even now. And we celebrate and look forward to his eventual coming again. That's why I have a coat on today, because I'm getting excited to see Jesus again. That's what this is all about, all right? So we celebrate and prepare ourselves for during this Advent season. And over the history of the church, really for the 2,000 years or so that we've been observing Advent, it's a time of penitence, of preparation, of fasting in many cases. But we traditionally, as Trinity Church, haven't always observed it. So we're learning and growing together as a body. But today is a little bit different. We have a different colored candle because we're halfway through Advent. So this is reserved as a day where we celebrate. We rejoice. If we've been fasting, we're going to take a hiatus for today, and we're going to feast and revel in the good things that we've experienced with Jesus and the hopeful expectation of things to come. So we're going to light today the pink candle after we light the candle of hope that Pastor Derek taught us about a few weeks ago and the candle of peace that Pastor Joe brought a fantastic message on last week. And as a reminder, all of our messages are on our YouTube channel. So if you missed out today, we want to make sure that you get a chance to hear the messages that have already been preached so that you'll all be caught up on where we're at today. But today is the pink candle. It's the third candle of Advent. It's the halfway point. And this candle is also known as the shepherd's candle. And there's a reason for that. In Luke chapter 2, we read this. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. "I bring you good news of great joy." Turn your being afraid into joy and rejoicing. Because, listen to this, "I bring you good news of great joy, and this will not just be for y'all, but for all people. For all people, today in the town of David, known as Bethlehem, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." That's why this is called the shepherd's candle, because it's a time of joy and rejoicing. The good news that the angels told the shepherds about, they get to hear it first. Jesus has been born. So today's message is on joy. And there's some irony in this, or maybe some sovereignty in this, in that I'm bringing the message today. Let me explain to you why. So my friend Philip Moss, he's put me through a bunch of personality profiles over the last 20 years, and my personality profile always comes up the same. I'm what's known in the DISC profile as a CS. The C means melancholy. That's a big word. The young people here today, I know today. That word means a feeling of general sadness at all times. That's what melancholy means. That's the first part of my personality. The other one is that I'm an S. I'm a phlegmatic, okay? That means unemotional and calm. So as I'm sad all the time and I have no emotions, all right? That's my personality. And so I think it's ironic that God would have me bring the message. I mean, if I was God, sometimes I've tried to be, but I'm not. Learn the hard way. If I was him, I would say, this joy message, this is probably Pastor Nancy's message, right? This oozes out of her being. This is effortless for her to demonstrate and walk in. She is the very picture of joy. Her first name should be Joy. Her middle name should be Joy. Her last name should be Joy. But God wanted to humble her and said, no, I'm going to make it Martin, just to keep you humbled and keep you holy, seeking me. If I was God, I might pick Jane Roland who is my counterpart and my complement. She walks in joy continually, 24/7. That's my wife. Or Joy Lindsay back here, who helped us get this church building over 20 some odd years ago. She is the picture of joy. Or maybe my little Chloe, she's 6 years old and she brings so much joy and life and love and fun to our family. But God in his sovereignty chose me to be the deliverer of this message today. I think it's because that old adage is true. If you want to learn something, teach it. All right, so God said, it's time for you to learn a little bit more about joy and rejoicing. Just to give you one more little bit of insight into my personality, why God is teaching me about rejoicing. We had a little 360 feedback as a team. You guys ever do that in your corporate teams, your business team? You guys know what that is? You sit around in a circle, look at each other, and you share two things about a person that they're doing great in, and you share one thing about them they could improve on, right? I'll never forget, one of my coworkers said to me two encouraging things. I don't even know what he said. All I heard was, but Matthew, you're kind of like a wet blanket sometimes. You walk in a room, you just throw a wet blanket on everybody, and you need to work on that. Okay. So I've been working on that ever since, and this is part of my development, so you're welcome. Here I am, now you know me better. If you want to learn something, teach it. If you want to know the definition of something, Google it, right? Be careful what you Google. So I Googled joy, and the first thing that popped up ended up being a distraction for the next 4 days. I saw Joy Macaroons over on Greenville, and it was the first thing I saw, and it occupied my mind for four straight days until I finally got in the truck and went over and got a 24-pack and brought it home and fed my family. I scratched that itch because that's what Google told me joy was all about, just a sugar fix, right? So Google wasn't helping me. I went to the Webster's Dictionary. Webster's Dictionary, the old one with all the unpolitically correct explanations and definitions. This is what Webster's says joy is. It's a noun. Joy is the passion or emotion excited by the acquisition or expectation of good. That excitement of pleasurable feelings, which is caused by a rational prospect of possessing what we love or desire. I like this because it has everything to do with the joy that we're talking about today. We're excited by the acquisition, which we already have Jesus, but also the expectation that he is coming again. Now, joy's identical twin is rejoice, the verb, rejoice, which means to make joyful, to gladden, to animate with lively, pleasurable sensations, to exhilarate. Again, I go to my friends that I mentioned earlier. This comes so natural for them, but I'm trying my best to mirror them and learning from their wonderful example, to make joyful, to animate with lively, pleasurable sensations. So today in our time together, I want to answer this question. I want to answer this question. Why should we rejoice? Why should we rejoice in this Advent season? Well, there's three things I came up with that I want to encourage you with today. This isn't an exhaustive list, but this is for us today. We should rejoice because Jesus has come. He has come. We should rejoice because Jesus is with us. We should rejoice because Jesus is coming again. So let's talk about that first aspect. We rejoice because Jesus has come. In Isaiah chapter 9, we read this, "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of shadow of death, a light has dawned. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." This is one of the many prophecies about Jesus, one of the many predictions that he's coming into the world. For thousands of years, over 300 plus prophecies, Old Testament prophets and writers projected Jesus would come. They longed to see his day, didn't get to see it with their own eyes, but they knew it was about to happen. They spoke of Jesus coming. When he finally came, we learned and realized this is God's greatest gift for all time, for all eternity. Jesus is the gift of God, the great gift of God. So great was he that when he did finally come, it was proclaimed with a star in the skies, his very own star in the solar system that led the way to Jesus. When he came, it split the calendar in half Right? Now, when I was a kid, we used to say before Christ and after death. I know we use new terms, right, to try to scrub Jesus out of history, common era and before common era. But when I was a kid, it was always Jesus before Christ, zero and after his death. That's how the calendar was arranged. When Jesus came, he ended ultimately the sacrificial system, right? Yes. So after Jesus was crucified, left, the temple was wiped out by the Romans. There were no more priests, no more priesthood, right? And it was as if God was saying, look, he's come. This is the one priest. There's no more sacrifices. There's no more temple worship. You don't need to do any of that because Jesus has come. The building is still not there today. And it's like God took his stamp and made an exclamation point because on top of the old temple that the Jews used to go and sacrifice to is a mosque to this day, all right? Again, God is reaffirming, hey, Jesus is the answer. You don't need the priest, the sacrificial system, the building. He fulfilled it all. Jesus has come. Jesus is the bread of life that sustains us, right? Grows us, nurtures us, helps us be strong. Jesus is the light of the world. He shows us the way when it doesn't seem to be any way. He is the path that we follow after. Jesus is the light of the world. He's the doorway into heaven. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus, the scriptures teach us. He's the good shepherd, the great shepherd, I would even say. He's the true vine. He's not a weed or a thorn patch. He's the vine that provides sustenance and life. The Bible says that he, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory. He is the exact representation of the Father, is what the Bible says. He's the way, he's the truth, he's the resurrection, and Jesus is the life, and he is with us. David said this, he prophesied in Psalm 16, he knew that Jesus was coming. He said, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. You, God, will not abandon me to the grave. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. David knew what was coming and he knew it was gonna be good and he longed to see it with his own two eyes. Jesus made it possible for us to be reunited with the Father for all eternity. He made the presence of God accessible for you and for me and for all people for all time. You see, back when there was a sacrificial system and there was a temple, there was a big curtain that separated the priests who were already considered holy. People didn't even get to get close. The priests, though, they could once a year go beyond the holy place into the most holy place. But there was a curtain 4 inches thick that was made of all these animal skins and cow skins. And I don't know how they made this thing. It was massive. You could punch the screen and hurt your hand. You know what I'm saying? It was that big and that thick. And beyond the curtain where the priest could go, one priest once a year was the Ark of the Covenant. On top of the Ark was what's called the mercy seat. That's where the two golden angels' wings are spread out. And it was said that God's presence sat on top of that mercy seat, beyond the veil, beyond the curtain. When Jesus left this earth, when he died, that curtain was ripped in two, something man could not possibly do, but only God himself. And God again was saying, look, the holy place now is no longer behind a curtain on the mercy seat. It's now with you and with me, for those who call on his name. Jesus made all that possible. And it's this reality that Jesus is with us that caused Isaac Watts to pen this famous hymn that we sing every Christmas time and all throughout the year. Joy to the world. Can I read parts of this Christmas carol to you? Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room. That's what we're doing, right? It's Advent. We are preparing our hearts in celebration of him. And heaven and nature sing, joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow as far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and the wonders of his love. Hallelujah. He is with us. Jesus is with us. Now compare that with Santa, who's already gone, right? He leaves you with a plate full of crumbs and a half-drunk cup of spoiled milk, okay? So the world wants you to look to Santa and be excited that he's coming, but the Bible teaches us Jesus is with us, And the blessings he brings are far greater than anything, any magical person who's based on St. Nicholas of Myra. So there were some historical roots there. But so much better than Santa is my point. That's what I'm trying to say in such an awkward way. So we rejoice because he's with us. We rejoice because he's come. And we rejoice that he's not left us. So in Matt, I love thinking about this as Matthew chapter 28, famous last words, right? Famous last words. I imagine Dennis will say, hey, everybody, watch this. Jesus said something different. Jesus said, I will be with you always. Matthew 28:20. Surely I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So imagine the picture. Jesus up on a mountain. He's got all of his followers, 500 or so is what the scriptures say, watching, listening to Jesus at the very end of his ministry. They don't really know what's going on. So Jesus says, hey, I'm going to be with you forever, right? And then all of a sudden, he's gone up in the clouds. And so they're looking, the scriptures say, looking up to heaven, not sure what to do next, right? Wait, he just said he was going to be with us forever. Didn't he say that? Didn't you hear that? Is that what he said? Did he use Aramaic or Hebrew? Did we misunderstand? He said he was going to be with us forever, but then he just left. Well, of course, we know Jesus left so he could send his Spirit, his presence with us, the Holy Spirit for those who believe, who've received him. That will be our comforter, our guide, our teacher, will never leave us, will always be with us. Jesus said he would always be with us to the very end of the age. Paul knew this, and he had to remind several churches. So I'm reminding Trinity Church today. Listen to how Paul reminded the church in Corinth. Do you not realize that Christ is in you? 2 Corinthians 13:5. The Galatians need to be reminded. He said this to the Galatians, I have been crucified with Christ. And just like me, you're the same. You've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me, Galatians 2:20. Paul had to remind the Ephesians, Ephesians 3:17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Where does he dwell? In our hearts, by faith, because we believe. Paul had to remind the Colossians. You see a theme here? The church, even in Jesus, the early church, they would forget. They had to be reminded that Jesus is with us. Colossians 1:27, Christ in you is the hope of glory. The hope of glory. He is coming again, but take heart, he's with you even now. And because Jesus is with us, we're never lost. Even if you don't have your phone, even if you don't have a friend, you are never truly lost if you have Jesus with you. Because he's with us, we're never lost. Because he's with us, we are never, ever alone. I know this holiday season, this is when many people feel this prevalent in their hearts, that they're alone or that they're by themselves or they don't have anyone. That's simply not true. If you are a follower of Jesus, you need to know the truth and be reminded that he is with you. And because he's with us, we don't ever have to be afraid. Just like the angel said, things look scary, but no, I'm just an angel. Don't be afraid, rejoice rather. Two Fridays ago, I took my family downtown, my wife, we went to go see the Dallas, I call it the Christmas parade. They call it the holiday parade, but whatever. This is a parade that we've been going for 20 some odd years. We checked into a hotel that looked right down on, we were in the 18th floor, so fun. Looked down on the parade route right below us on Commerce and Irving. So the idea was early in the morning, because you have to kind of, you know, you gotta jostle and you gotta be, you know, not aggressive, but you gotta be intentional about getting your seats to see the parade, right? So I brought all of our lawn chairs. We had a hotel. I was gonna be able to get up there early, which I did very, very early in the cold for my family, because I love them very much. Got great seats for the parade. But the night before, I did something I tell my kids never to do. Tell my kids never, don't do this. I did the thing I told them not to do. What do I tell them not to do? Don't go anywhere at night, all right? Don't fill up for gas at night. Don't, if you're gonna stay at a friend's house, great, but wait till it's light out before you come home. Nothing good happens at night after dark unless you're at home, is what I tell my kids, right? I'm a dad, I can say that. I did the very opposite. So we checked into the hotel. We went downtown Dallas at night. And it was dark. And everything every bit of fear I tried to sow in them, the strangers and the weird people and people snatching you away and all those things, like I took us into the belly of the beast, right? I took my kids outside. We walked down the street. We went to get Campisi's pizza downtown. My kids, that's the best pizza they've ever had in their whole life. Then we went to Flew Allen's Cupcakes and got the best cupcakes they've ever had in their whole life. Then we left there, saw the lights. We went down to AT&T Discovery District, the most amazing tree they've ever seen in their whole life. This was my kids. And sure enough, we saw the people who were struggling. I saw one guy try to steer my kids away. I put my son in the back, and I was in the front of the parade. And said, you watch the back, and I'm at the front. We're gonna be okay. I knew I'd see somebody that was shadow boxing trying to get my attention but for no reason. I was like, just okay, steered away. So many people are not in great shape. A lot of people camping outside on that Friday night. But that's not what my kids saw. All my kids saw was the joy, the energy, the excitement of the life. And here's what Chloe said as we were walking from AT&T Discovery Center back to our hotel. She was skipping along with a big smile on her face, holding my hand, just unprompted says, Daddy, this place is the best. I never want to leave. I thought, wow, how cool is that? And I thought, that's exactly what it's like. When you know that your Father is with you, when Jesus is with you, you're not alone, you're not lost, you don't have to be afraid. Now, had I not been there, Chloe would have been in a world of hurt. She would have been lost, afraid, and alone. But I was with her, and she didn't have to be afraid. We rejoice because Jesus is with us. And the third point, third reason why we can rejoice is that Jesus is coming again. So remember, he ascended into heaven. Acts 1:1, the angel said to those who are standing there, what are you scratching your heads looking to the sky for? This same Jesus who's been taken away from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go. The angels proclaimed all these followers and they would spread the word. Jesus is coming again. On the Olivet Discourse, this is Matthew chapter 24 and 25, Jesus is sitting with his disciples. And they're asking him all these questions about the end times. Just like most of us, we're curious to know about the end times. When is all this going to happen? When is the new heavens and the new earth going to come that's been prophesied about? I've got a collection of end times books in my office just for fun. One of them's titled 1994, the big question mark. I guess he hadn't come back yet, right? People want to know. The disciples want to know. They asked him, what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus said to them, Matthew 24. At that time, the Son of Man will appear in the sky. We'll all see it. We'll all know. And the nations of the earth will mourn. They know what they've been up to. Yeah. Jesus is not like Santa who's bringing a big bag of coal for some people. Jesus is bringing a big bag of judgment. Yeah. But that's a different message. We're talking about rejoicing here today. Jesus is coming again. They will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds in the sky with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect, that's you and me who know and love him, from the four winds, that's the four corners of the earth, from the four winds of the heavens to one another, and we will be redeemed to him. We'll be taken to the place where there's no sadness, there's no fear, no pain, no tears, all joy, all Jesus for all eternity. The angels declared it, Jesus himself said it, and then if you fast forward to the last book of the Bible, to the last chapter, to the last verses, here's what Jesus said. Yes, I'm coming soon. And the author mirrors it and says, amen, come, Lord Jesus, Revelation 22, 20. We rejoice because Jesus is coming again. Can I get an amen? Amen. He's coming again. And you know what? It's almost Christmas time. I told you I was gonna give you three, but I've got one more bonus reason why we should rejoice. It's this internal discussion my wife and I always have. The kids should always get what they want on their list. I'm like, but we should surprise them with at least one thing. But we got to make sure they get what's on the Christmas list. But I think we should surprise them. So it's both. I'm going to give you what I told you, what you wanted, what you asked for. I'm also going to give you a bonus reason why you should rejoice. And I'm a dad, so take this with a grain of salt. But here's the last reason. Do you want to know what it is, why we should rejoice? He's with us. He came. He's with us. He's coming again, and we should rejoice because he told us to, okay? Because he told us to. You know, I'm a dad. I tell my kids to do things. Most of the time, I take time to explain it to you. Here's why. It's good for you, this and that. But there's just some times where things are above their heads, beyond their pay grade. They're never going to understand. So I'm just going to tell them to do it, and I want them to trust me that I'm the father who loves them. This is good for you. Just go do it, okay? Here's what it says in Psalm 105. Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord, that's you and me, let our hearts rejoice. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again in case you didn't hear it the first time. Rejoice, rejoice. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, be joyful always. Be joyful always. He didn't explain the reasons why. He's not trying to twist their arm, give them a promise. If you'd rejoice, then I'll just do it. I love you. Just do it. Just be joyful. Rejoice. Revelation 19:7, just to put a bookend on it. Hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. Trinity Church, we should rejoice because he has come. We should rejoice because he's with us. We should rejoice because he's coming again. And if that wasn't reason enough, we should rejoice because he told us to. Because he told us to. Now, I know you might be thinking to yourself, well, I'm like you. I'm a phlegmatic and melancholy, and it's real hard to do. I'll do the other things. I'm going to just give you a couple tips that'll help you, okay? If you struggle to rejoice, here's just a few tips. The first thing is repent, okay? Just choose, I'm going to turn away from being sad and melancholy and grumpy and irritable. I'm going to rejoice because God told me to. It's that simple. You know, the reality is that all around the Metroplex, all around the world, really, there's people in hospital rooms, in food pantry lines, waiting for an appointment in the morning for a job placement. There's people that are begging God, praying, pleading for an answer, for the very things that you and I, most of us have in this room, a car that works, a body that's healthy and strong, loved ones that are not in desperate straits, okay? Just remember that, especially at this holiday season. There's a lot of people that are not as fortunate as us. We can rejoice with what God has already done in our hearts, in our lives. Another tip I wanna give you, you don't have to write all these down, but take the one that fits for you. So I was grumpy last Friday, as I'm prone to do. I was in the laundry room. I was trying to match up socks. We have a lot of socks in my house. We have a lot of people in my family. And I was trying to match socks, and I just said, you know what? I'm preaching on this in a week. I need to just stop myself. Don't be grumpy. How do I not be grumpy? I learned this somewhere. It said, the best way to spread Christmas cheer is... the best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear. I learned that from Buddy the Elf. And it's true. I immediately thought, what's a song of rejoicing I can say out loud with my own mouth? It's gonna make me feel better. And I remember from way back in the 80s, a lady named Twyla Paris would sing a song called The Joy of the Lord is My Strength. The joy, I don't even know the stanzas or the rest, I just know the chorus. I began to sing that out loud with my own mouth, and my faith was built up, and my demeanor of being grumpy and irritable within 5 minutes had changed, literally, which is like a miracle. You know, God is, he is real. I just felt like rejoicing. I was happy and I finished my duty of the matching up these socks, which I'm not so altruistic. They're my own socks. I wasn't even doing this for my family. So, but I sang out loud with my mouth and it built up my faith and I was encouraged. Another thing we can do, a simple tip, is do something for somebody else. When you get your eyes off yourself and do something for someone, you always dread it, at least people like me dread going to do it, but then afterwards you're like, I'm so glad I went to that worship service, or I'm so glad I went to serve at that food train. I'm so glad I gave that gift. I promise you, that you may not like it now, but afterwards you'll be so glad you did it. So here's something you could do. On Sunday night, the 18th, you remember all those angels that we brought to the church to give to the less fortunate in East Dallas with Youth with a Mission? I mean, this is recent memory. You remember this. We received all those presents. Well, they're actually sponsoring a big Christmas party, feeding everybody, giving out the presents, worshiping God together. David Funky and YWAM Dallas needs a bunch of volunteers, people to just serve food. I did this 1 year for an hour and a half, just putting potatoes on plates. They didn't ask me to preach, sing, worship, lead anything. Will you please come and... I was so happy to do it. Afterwards, I was so glad I had gone. Some of us here, if you're available, this is a great way for you to do something for somebody else. Holding the door open, distributing presents, serving food. You can do it. If that's you today, I know I need to get out of this funk and go serve somebody. That's a great option for you. That's just 2 miles away from here. Do something for somebody else. Share your testimony. The Bible says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. That's what Jesus did. And by the word of our testimony, telling somebody else what he's done for us. You know this. If you've ever shared your testimony with somebody else, you walk away feeling encouraged, like, yeah, I really am a Christian. God really did that for me. Share your testimony. If you haven't done it in a long time, I dare you to share what God has done for you before Christmas comes. You don't have to be an apologetics major. You don't have to have your doctorate in divinity. Nobody can argue when you say, but God did this for me. He took away the shame, the guilt, the fear, the doubt. He did that for me, and he can do it for you too. So I want to encourage you to share your testimony. That's for somebody in this room. And lastly, for all of us, stay connected to Christian community. This is one of the ways that we can continue to rejoice when we don't feel like it. When we stay connected to our small group, our church family, that's a way that we can keep our eyes on Jesus and on others, and it will help us to rejoice. Let's all stand together. Let's all stand together and close out our time today. Ministry team, our pastors, our ministry team, if you guys would come up to the front, we want to make this team available to pray for you, to encourage you. If you need help, if you don't know how to repent, we want to show you how to do that today. But we want to be here. If you need prayer for something specific in your body, heart, life, whatever it is, our ministry team is available to help you today. If you just want to connect with a pastor and find out how you can get connected to the church, we are available for you. I also want to remind you, after service today, we have baptism right out on the green space. So join us if you can to see people take a step in their walk with the Lord, never be the same as a result. Remember to come to the ladies' event on Wednesday night, next Sunday, kids' Christmas program. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I want to speak a benediction, a blessing over you as we finish our time here together. This is out of the book of Jude. Now to him who's able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen and amen. God bless you and have a wonderful rest of your week. Thank you for coming today.
Thank you for tuning in today. If you'd like to dive deeper into today's message, go to trinitydallas.com/sermons to receive your copy of the notes. If today's message encouraged you, do someone else a favor and share it with them. Also, be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. A special shout out to all those who partner with us through their giving. Your contributions have enabled us to touch the lives of people in our community, as well as around the globe. Visit us at trinitydallas.com/give to partner with what God is doing through Trinity Dallas.